Should school choice include religious schools? Recently, the Supreme Court said that it should. And this is an important case. We're going to be talking with an ADF attorney about this case out of Maine. In fact, the ADF declared at the time of this victory in favor of the religious schools. And I should say, by the way, the ADF is the Alliance Defending Freedom. And there is a link between this radio station and the ADF in this sense. Dr. D. James Kennedy was one of the key founders of the Alliance Defending Freedom. He worked in tandem with Bill Bright, James Dobson, Marlon Maddox, Larry Burkett, and one or two others. And in the meantime, Dr. D. James Kennedy was the ultimate founder of this radio station. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest is Paul Schmidt. And this is what the ADF declared at the time of the victory in favor of the religious schools. Quote, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Carson v. Macon that the state of Maine cannot exclude students who attend religious schools from a government program in which they are otherwise qualified. So we welcome now Paul Schmidt to the program. Paul, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you, Jerry.
Sure. And so tell us about this school case. And by the way, let's begin with a wider context.
Sure, Jerry. The wider issue that we should keep in mind is all about public benefits. You know, we're all entitled to public benefits, but for a lot of years, governments tried to keep religious institutions and families who chose to send their children to religious institutions out of access to public benefit programs. And, you know, I can give you a few examples from recent cases about what we're talking about. So you may remember, many of your listeners may remember the idea of the Blaine Amendments, right? The very famous movement in the 19th century that tried to ban religious institutions from benefiting from public programs.
Can I be blunt? Was that not a kind of an anti-Catholic bias, or born out of an anti-Catholic bias?
Yes. It was a totally, it was based in fear of heavy amounts of Catholic immigration coming from Ireland and Italy and other places in Europe. So they unfortunately have a pretty bigoted history, and I think the court has done a good job of rolling those things back recently.
Okay, but I interrupted you on that point, so go on. You were on a roll.
Oh, yeah, so the Blaine Amendments effectively, Jerry, like you say, were targeting Catholics, and as a result, all religious institutions couldn't benefit from public benefits. So in many cases, that meant that you would have a grant program that was available for schools, let's say. In fact, not just public schools, but also private schools. And because of a Blaine Amendment, those religious schools in a state, and I have one particular case in mind, would be unable to apply for that grant program. Well, that's exactly what happened in the state of Missouri. And in 2017, ADF brought a case, and it went up to the Supreme Court. It was called Trinity Lutheran versus Comer. And in that case, the state of Missouri was providing recycled tire grants that would allow schools and other, private organizations to resurface playgrounds so that kids wouldn't get scraped knees or, bruised elbows or anything else. And so what ended up happening was Missouri, allowed schools to participate in this program. Trinity Lutheran School, which was in Columbia, Missouri, applied. They were one of the top contenders to get this grant. And then the state of Missouri said, no, you can't have it because you're religious. ADF sued. The Supreme Court struck down Missouri's Blaine Amendment. And basically the holding was, if you offer public benefits to private organizations, you can't exclude some organizations just because they are religious. In other words, you can't discriminate against somebody based on their religious status. So that was in 2017. Jerry, in 2020, a similar thing came up in Montana. Montana had a scholarship program, and basically families could take these scholarships. They were state-sponsored scholarships. They could use them at any private school they wanted to. There was a couple of families that wanted to use them at religious schools, and rather than allow those families to use those scholarships at those religious schools, the Montana Supreme Court just declared the entire program unconstitutional, because Montana's constitution had a provision called a no-aid provision, which is very similar to a Blaine Amendment. And so that went up to the Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court said, no, you're discriminating against, these schools and these families because of religious status again, just like in Trinity Lutheran. And so that is all the background on kind of these public benefits cases. And then, of course, we had the big blockbuster case this year, Carson, which we started out talking about.
Yeah, okay. And so tell us about the Supreme Court ruling then in 2022 in reference to Maine.
Yeah, so just in the end of June, the Supreme Court gave us this decision that was kind of the last in this trilogy of cases, and it probably will be, known as a pretty definitive constitutional law doctrinal case. It's called Carson versus Macon. Maine has a program that allows school districts basically to give families a tuition benefit to go use at any school they want to, public or private. And the reason that Maine has this program is it's actually the most rural state in the nation. There are a lot of little towns up in Maine that really don't have enough students to justify having a public school. So that's why they offer families this tuition benefit. So back in the 1980s, Maine's attorney general decided that doing this program and allowing families to use that tuition benefit at a religious school would violate the Establishment Clause to the U.S. Constitution. And that, of course, was wrong, but the Maine legislature adopted by statute that same kind of ideology. So since the 1980s, families have been able to use their benefit at secular private schools or at public schools, and they can even use their benefit in schools that aren't even in the state of Maine. But when they tried to use it at a religious school, the state would prohibit it. And the Supreme Court recently struck that down. They said that's unconstitutional. Maine was trying to argue, well, we weren't really discriminating on the basis of religious status, not just because they're religious. What we really didn't want them to do was to take that tuition money and use it on religious things. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can say this is about the religious use of that money, but really that is, at the end of the day, the same thing as discriminating against somebody because they're religious. Just because they teach from a religious perspective doesn't mean it's not status-based discrimination when you try to control the use of those public benefits. So that was a great victory for religious schools. That was a really huge victory for families. Now they can, put their kid in the best school that's the best fit for them, without worrying about whether it's religious or not. And that is going to have impact all over the country, Jerry, outside of even the school choice context. Although I can tell you, I've been litigating cases in neighboring Vermont for the last several years, and which has a very similar program to Maine. So this has been a huge benefit. We're already seeing in Vermont school districts start to honor this decision, and they're really letting the families use their benefits like they ought to have been able to this entire time.
What was this an ADF case, this one out of Maine? Or was this something where you all were just supportive, a friend of the court briefs and so forth?
Yeah, we supported this case through amicus and, along the way. This particular case, the Carson case, was brought by the Institute for Justice on behalf of those families. And I believe First Liberty Institute also helped out.
Oh, okay.
With some of the briefing there, too.
Sure. Years ago, Pat Buchanan, columnist, once said that Christians, in effect, are double taxed because they have to pay for the local schools, but often they don't have their children go to those public schools because they're just, the teaching is so secular, so they pay for their children to go to the Christian schools. But, of course, they have to pay for the public schools as well. So in that sense, they're double taxed. Just an interesting thought. I don't know what your feelings are on that remark.
Yeah, well, it's especially true in a case where they're taxed and then refused a benefit that they're otherwise entitled to, especially when that benefit would allow them to send their kids to private schools, right? So, and there are all kinds of similar programs throughout the country where, traditionally Christian families are, Orthodox Jewish families, anyone who wanted to give their kid a religious education was deprived of something that was otherwise rightfully theirs.
Do you think the founders of America ever intended this situation where the courts or even school officials are using the Establishment Clause as a, you know, almost like a club to beat down any, you know, expression of religion in the public arena.
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, Jerry, a lot of Americans forget this, but in the early years, a lot of states had established state churches, and a lot of states actually even would tax people to support those state churches. So the idea that, you know, you would use the Establishment Clause as a cudgel would have been totally foreign to the founders, particularly because what the Establishment Clause was intending to do was to protect religion from Congress, right? If you remember how the First Amendment is laid out, it says Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. And the reason for that was is because religion was considered to be a matter left to the states and the people in their local communities to decide, not the federal government.
You know, it's interesting when we were talking earlier about the anti-Catholic bias, which was kind of at work with some of this. I have to tell this quick anecdote. Years ago, for my full-time work at D. James Kennedy Ministries, where I've been a TV producer, I still am with the ministry, and I was in the office of Barry Lynn, very nice man, but I didn't like and agree with what he was doing. But we were doing an interview with him about some particular separation of church and state type case. But while I was there, here at the, you know, the national headquarters of the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, lo and behold, I realized, because they had this big painting and so forth of their founder, originally it had been called Protestants United for the Separation of Church and State. And we're only talking about the 1940s. And I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? So a lot of this push that, you know, is today an extreme secularism really was born of that anti-Catholic bias. And, of course, they feel the same way towards today's evangelicals. We have less than a minute to go, but any concluding thought on this, please?
Yeah, I would, you know, just on the last point you made, Jerry, I think one thing Catholics and evangelicals can kind of see clearly now is that people of faith need to stand together. You know, we need to have each other's back, because the world has changed quite a bit over the last century or so. And so in order to protect churches, in order to protect people of faith, we all kind of have to work together. And that's, you know, one of the beauties of decisions like this recent Carson case and others, is a lot of these religious liberty organizations and different people of faith are coming together to kind of protect people's religious exercise.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, Paul Schmidt. And in fact, if you want to just like maybe 30-second close on, are you encouraged or discouraged about the future in light of, you know, the challenges we face?
We face a lot of challenges. I'm optimistic about our future between the Carson decision, the Coach Kennedy decision, and some of the others that the courts have been handing down. I really think they understand the need for religious liberty. They understand the role of the church in society. And so we have a lot to be hopeful for. We have a lot to pray for.
Okay, very good. TellADF.org for more information. Is that right?
Yeah, ADFlegal.org.
ADFlegal.org. Okay, thanks. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.